We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You are listening to the voice of Pittsburgh, KDKA Radio. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland. It is a Wednesday afternoon, and we're having a great time. We're having a great time because we have a lot to talk about today, and it isn't all necessarily election related. It isn't all necessarily anger. It isn't all necessarily just all that yelling and screaming. That's because right now we're talking about medical marijuana. Yeah, we're kicking back to talk about medical marijuana. So the reason that we're talking medical marijuana today is because the Medical Marijuana Advisory Board met earlier this week to talk about adding some qualifying conditions. Now, you know that in order to get a card, so in Pennsylvania, in order to get medical marijuana, you have to have certain conditions, and then you get a card from a doctor, and that entitles you or enables you to go to one of the dispensaries. And there are different types of products you can get for different types of conditions. And that's how you qualify for the medical marijuana. Well, every now and then, they change the requirements. So there are different conditions and maybe they add some. So the board met earlier this week to consider adding some conditions to what would qualify. And it didn't go so well, at least for some of the folks who have those conditions. So Patrick Nightingale, we have Mr. Nightingale, correct?
Yes, I'm here on the line with you, Lynn.
Oh, awesome. 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 So, Patrick Nightingale is a local. He is from the Pittsburgh area. He's a criminal defense attorney and a cannabis reform advocate. He's also the director of the Pittsburgh chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. He joins us now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on, and it's a pleasure to have the opportunity to discuss the advisory board and some of the inner workings of our medical cannabis program with your listening audience.
So did I kind of describe that correctly? There are, what, 20-plus some conditions that right now will qualify an individual to get a medical marijuana card. Is that correct?
That is correct. We currently have 23 qualifying conditions. When the law was originally passed, there were 17 qualifying conditions. And the law also created a medical marijuana advisory board that could advise the Secretary of Health, Dr. Levine, on various issues, which include adding qualifying conditions to the list of conditions. And so far, a total of 6 additional conditions have been added, which include opiate use disorder, anxiety, cancer in remission, terminal illness, and it provided some clarity on treating for chronic pain.
Now, how often does the board meet, or how often does the board consider adding new or additional qualifying conditions?
The board meets quarterly, and okay. The board will consider adding qualifying conditions if a request is made from a patient or from an interested party to add a qualifying condition. And it's not just a matter of writing to the board and saying, hey, I'd really like to see, Tourette syndrome added as a qualifying condition. The board requires the applicant to also provide competent medical support for the claim. And, there's as medical marijuana, medical cannabis continues to evolve in this country, we're growing forgive the pun, growing a much larger a medical database showing clinical studies taking place in various states that demonstrate cannabis's medical efficacy. And it was that type of evidence that was submitted in support of adding anxiety, for example.
Okay. So when they met on Tuesday, they looked at insomnia as a potential condition.
Insomnia and traumatic brain injury. So there were two qualifying conditions that were before the board for consideration. And after speaking with the patient advocates on the advisory board, Luke Schultz and Molly Robertson, they were able to fill me in on what the medical subcommittee's concerns were about adding insomnia. The physicians on the medical subcommittee offered the opinion that insomnia was too broad of a term and that they wanted it to be a little more specific, perhaps chronic insomnia versus just mild insomnia. And they also noted that insomnia is a condition often associated with other conditions such as PTSD and anxiety, which were already approved and are available for medical cannabis and are qualifying conditions. Ms. Robertson pointed out to the subcommittee that the clinical research program is starting to ramp up here in Pennsylvania, and that's where patients work directly with a dispensary to provide medical data to here locally to UPMC, and that that would give the clinical research program the opportunity to study insomnia, but ultimately it ended up failing 7-4.
Now, it does seem to me, and again, this is not my area of expertise, but when you say insomnia and you say traumatic brain injury, insomnia does just sounds like a broad brush. It sounds like just a very broad brush versus traumatic brain injury.
Yes, and traumatic brain injury, clearly a more specific condition. The decision on traumatic brain injury has been tabled until the February meeting of the advisory board, and I believe that the patient advocates, Mr. Schultz and Ms. Robertson, are going to attempt to bring expert testimony before the board, because at least one of the physicians on the board, a pediatric neurologist, expressed concerns that traumatic brain injury as a qualifying condition for children may produce unanticipated or unknowable results, and that he would be inclined to favor it for adults only. So traumatic brain injury will be back on before the advisory board in February, plus any other conditions. And if the insomnia application comes back with more specific information to address the concerns of the advisory board, it may very well be ripe for passage.
Patrick Nightingale, I got to check in on traffic. Can you hang with me for a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
So our guest this hour is Patrick Nightingale. And Patrick wears a couple of different hats. In addition to being a criminal defense attorney, he is also a cannabis reform advocate. He's the director of the Pittsburgh chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. And the reason he's on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline today is because the Medical Marijuana Advisory Board met earlier this week, and they said thumbs down to the possibility of adding a few new qualifying conditions here in Pennsylvania. And Patrick, give me some idea. Medical marijuana has done well in Pennsylvania so far,
it
correct?
It has done extremely well. We have a very robust program. There are over 250,000 Pennsylvanians who are regularly accessing medical cannabis products. The main complaints from the patient community is that our products relative to other medical marijuana states are, quite expensive. And built into our law was a provision for considering price caps. But Director John Collins has said that he's not going to consider, tinkering with the costs of medical cannabis products until such time as the program is fully operational, and that includes the 8 additional clinical research licenses that I alluded to earlier, which there's one here in the western part of the state where a cultivator will be operating a dispensary and working in partnership with UPMC to provide patient-driven data so that we more fully understand how people are getting relief pursuant to the medical cannabis program. But by all markers, it has been a very effective program. It has been easy for patients to become registered, to get certified by physicians, and to have access to medical cannabis dispensaries.
So there has been a lot of conversation over the last couple of years about recreational marijuana in Pennsylvania that has not been approved yet. So let me not get folks upset when I bring this up. But I just wonder, in the event that it does, which and many lawmakers believe that it is inevitable that it will happen, how do those two programs then interact, or do they not intersect? Do they continue? Do they happen, but on separate tracks?
Well, you know, it depends on how Pennsylvania crafts its legislation moving forward. What we have seen in other states is that adult use cannabis, recreational marijuana, is where the primary revenue stream is derived from. It tends to be taxed at a much higher rate than medical cannabis, and that ensures that medical patients are not paying, you know, a higher price for medical cannabis products, because they do have it for, you know, serious medical conditions and not merely to use as a substitute for alcohol or, you know, whatever the case may be. Pennsylvania, depending on how it crafts its legislation, it may work with existing license holders and say, hey, you know, we have a new adult use program coming. If you want to pay a premium, we know that you're already capable of operating and capable of, you know, not engaging in illegal diversion or submitting tainted products. So, hey, you know, pay a premium. We'll award you the first round of licenses, get this program up and running. One of the other factors is that, you know, the patient community and the cannabis consuming community as a whole is very, very motivated for home cultivation. You know, what we see with our medical cannabis program and the very high prices that we have is that when you have a small group, a small number of very large corporate entities producing and selling cannabis in Pennsylvania and in other states, they have the ability to drive the prices up. And one area where patients and consumers themselves can take that back a little bit is with home cultivation. So I think that that's going to be a big issue moving forward as we have the discussion about adult use cannabis and whether or not Pennsylvanians will be permitted to, you know, grow maybe 6 plants, maybe 10 plants, as they are in other states. You know, Colorado, for example, allows home cultivation of, I believe, up to 12 plants per household, and it has had no impact on Colorado's generation of tax revenue, which is in excess of $200 million annually. You know, Pennsylvania is 3 times the size of Colorado, and I think that it's very reasonable to expect that our full adult use program could generate well over $500 million in tax revenue annually, and that would not at all be impacted with home cultivation.
When you say home cultivation, I am sure that there are a lot of listeners out here who just made up their mind very quickly. If they were sitting on the fence on this, they just made up their mind very quickly. We'll find out, though. We're going to take some phone calls after the news. Patrick Nightingale, thanks so much for joining us. You always bring a wealth of information to us, and we appreciate you, sir.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to have a chance to join you this afternoon.